God had to bring them to the end of themselves so that they knew that the power was not in them, it was of God. And it's no fun, let me be frank, it's no fun being brought to the end of yourself. I don't know, maybe you enjoy. I'm not crazy about it, frankly. I vote no. You know, we're taking a poll. Guys, hey, you guys want to come to the end of yourselves? Next year. It's not fun. It's glorious in a way, but it's not fun when you come to the place where there is nothing left for you to do but cast yourself on the care of God. Now, you might wonder if they didn't already know that. I mean, this is the Apostle Paul. It seems kind of basic. You would think that in that situation, that's the first thing you would do. But, you know, when you are used so powerfully by God like the Apostle Paul was, and you see miracles happen, you see yourself raising the dead, you see people taking your T-shirt, laying it on somebody, and their demons are cast out of them, you might be a little tempted to think, dude, man, I got it going on. God knows He can use me because I'm the man. Yeah, buddy, I am the man. If you need ministry, boy, come to see John. Don't waste your time on it. Don't send your money to. Don't go down. God is on me, man. Come, I'll take care of you. It might be tempting when God is using you powerfully. And God will use us powerfully as we surrender to Him. But it might be tempting in that situation to think, I got it going on. It may not even be something spiritual. It might be something that you're just frankly good at. You know? I remember, you know, I've spent 20 years handling car accident claims. I figured I knew something along the way. And when Laura was in her car accident, I figured at first, well, hey, I got it sewn up. But there were some wrinkles, and I won't bore you with details. There were some wrinkles that came in that, frankly, I didn't know what to do about. And all of a sudden, all that experience was worthless. All I could do was trust in God. Well, God, I thought I had it going, but I'm going to have to trust you this time. Can be very tempting when you have so much strength to simply rely on that strength rather than trust in God. You could be facing a financial blind side that hits you. Oh, it's not bad. I got credit. I'll charge it. I'll take out a loan, whatever. Or I'll do this or I'll do that other thing because we have what we think is our own strength. And it's very tempting to get in the flesh. God says, wait a minute, before you start, don't just do something. Stand there and trust first. Let me guide you through this process because I have a purpose, I have a plan, and I'm going to make all things work together for good if you love me. Now, if Paul wasn't able to do that, God might have had to take him home. Thank God he did. He trusted in God, number one. I know it sounds basic, but number two. Number one, trust in God because God is able to deliver you. Number two, pray to God. Thank you, Dennis, very much. Pray to God because God is able to deliver you. Yeah. You ever feel that way? Uh-huh. Like you're the one in the red shorts, not like you're the guy with who needs a shave, you know. Pray to God because God is able to deliver you. Now, that sounds kind of basic. You know, that's what they always say on Sunday. You know, read your Bible and pray. You know, but how often do we simply let the morning blast by us without taking that moment to pray? It's the easiest thing in the world to know. It's the hardest thing in the world sometimes to do. To really, and I'm not just saying, you know, dear God, please help me. Thank you. Sincerely, John. I'm talking about getting on your knees and fighting like a man. I'm talking about warring in the spirit, where you get down on the mat and pray. I'm not talking, you know, pray. I'm talking pray. I'm going to pray. I'm going to lay a hold of this thing in prayer, man, and I'm not letting go until I see God bring victory. I am going to fight the good fight of faith. I am going to wrestle in the Spirit. I'm going to kick me some spiritual butt if necessary. And I'm not even going to bother to take names. I'm going to get down and pray. Praise God. 1 Corinthians 15:32. Paul is writing to the Corinthians and he said this. If in the manner of men, I have fought with beasts at Ephesus. What advantage is it to me if the dead are not raised? Basically, he's talking about the resurrection. If in the manner of man I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantage is it to me if the dead are not raised? Now, when he says here, in the manner of man, according to F.F. Bruce, who's like a total Bible scholar, renowned, respected guy, he says what that means is in a manner of speaking or figuratively speaking. It's a way of saying figuratively speaking. And Paul is saying, if figuratively speaking, I have fought with beasts at Ephesus. Now, believe it or not, even in spite of that, some commentators, believe it or not, that went right by them, and they said, well, this must have been an incident that was not recorded in the scripture, where Paul wrestled with wild animals at Ephesus. Give me a break. The Apostle Paul was some short, squat, stubby dude who was half blind and half crippled because he'd been beaten up and persecuted so many times. He didn't go around wrestling with wild animals. You're not going to see Paul out there and a grizzly bear and Paul taking this thing down. No, please. You guys are more, the smarter we get, the more stupid we become sometimes. What he's talking about there is warring in the spirit against demonic forces that were, frankly, beastly and carnivorous and rapacious in nature. Paul was doing spiritual warfare at Ephesus because the place was overrun with demons. If you don't believe me, look at the letter he wrote to the Ephesians, to the guys that lived there. This is what he said to them. It's called Paul's letter to the Ephesians, or the book of Ephesians. This is what he said in chapter 6. He said, for we do not wrestle against grizzly bears. We do not wrestle against, wild boars. We do not wrestle against ravenous dogs, I think. Yes. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, human or animal. We don't He's telling it to the Ephesians. He said, I wrestled with beasts at Ephesus. He later writes to them and says, I didn't wrestle with flesh and blood. Who did he wrestle against? Principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts or armies of wickedness in the heavenly places. Paul was about doing some serious warfare in prayer. They didn't have demons walk in the room and he'd throw them on the bed and do a suplex or, get them in a submission hold. He was praying. God calls us to war in the Spirit, by the Spirit, through the Spirit, against the forces of darkness. We did not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. And so, in that theater, I would submit to you when the entire city went nuts, that one of the things Paul did was to war in the Spirit. He began, Dennis, thank you very much, he began to pray and to war in the Spirit against the territorial spirits at that time that were whipping the crowd into a violent frenzy. There was Satan at work in that crowd. So Paul took off his, jacket, and took off his jacket, rolled up his sleeves, and got down to business battling in the spiritual warfare against the demonic forces. He was wrestling with the beasts at Ephesus. And that's what God calls us to do. Battle those spirits with Holy Spirit-empowered prayer. You know what kind of prayer that is? It's where instead of just praying a nice prayer, you go to God and you just start worshiping Him until His Spirit starts to fill you so His Spirit can guide you into what you say. You just get before the throne of God and say, God, I'm looking at death here. This is not good. I need you now. Come and fill me because I got some fighting to do. And you just get in the Spirit and you worship God and you seek His face. And as He begins to fill you and you begin to feel His presence on you, man, you just open your mouth and let God put words in it. And you just speak whatever He tells you to speak. If you don't know what to do, next time we pray up here for some folks, come on up and and listen. Because what it's like prophetic prayer. It's where you begin to declare in the Spirit the truth of God to counter the lies of darkness. When the lies start to come in and they say, oh, you're going down, you're a mess, God has forgotten about you, you don't deserve to be healed, you don't deserve to be delivered, God is just taking you out, He's cast you off, and you start coming against that with the truth. My God will never leave me or forsake me. His love to me is from everlasting to everlasting. There is none like Him who can deliver. And you start proclaiming the truth over that situation in prayer. If you want to call it claiming promises, call it that. But I think it goes beyond simply claiming promises that, you know, that are self-centered in nature. I think it's talking about giving God the glory He deserves and proclaiming His majesty and authority over that situation. And taking captives, casting down every argument. Paul said, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty in God, to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments. When the devil is arguing about you, arguing against you, telling you it's all over, I'm going to ruin you, I'm going to ruin your family, I'm going to rob and plunder and pillage your life, you cast that argument down and say, not on my watch, buddy, because I got Jesus Christ living inside of me, and you can't touch me without His permission. Amen. And you start proclaiming the truth. Praise God. Now, it also helps if you've got other people praying for you. Doesn't hurt. I would get as many praying folk praying for you as possible. I'd put that email out. I'd go on Facebook. I would go on MySpace. Well, I don't know. You know, those MySpace people might not be praying. I'm sorry. At least go on Facebook. At least get the email out. I would at least start making some phone calls and get people praying for you, as many as possible. In fact, that's what Paul was saying in this same passage in 2 Corinthians. He was grateful. 2 Corinthians 1:11. He said to them, after God delivered them, He said, you also, helping together in prayer for us, so that thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf for the gift that was granted to us through many. In other words, the more people you have praying for you, the more praise and thanksgiving that will go up afterwards when God delivers you out of that situation. His glory is magnified. His praises are multiplied. Now it's not just you saying thank you. Now it's a whole host of hundreds of people on the internet and everywhere else praising and thanking God for the good things He has done in your life. And God's glory is magnified in the earth. And that is the whole purpose for this universe to begin with, is the glory of God.